From the American Tobacco Historic District, this is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. Scott and Seth Avid are two brothers who grew up in North Carolina and formed a bluegrass band 4 years ago when their rock group fell apart. Well, that background could explain the edgier chords and fancy showmanship of the now three-man band. Their influences range across the musical spectrum, from Doc Watson to the hip-hop duo Outkast. The Avid brothers, who include Scott and Seth and also Bob Crawford, draw enthusiastic crowds. They've done that at the last two Merlefest folk festivals in Wilkesboro. And these days, they spend most of their time on the road, but they still make their homes in North Carolina, outside of Charlotte. Tonight, the Avid brothers are in the Triangle to play a show at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And this hour, they join us here in the studio. Scott Avid, Seth Avid, and Bob Crawford, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And they're arranged just behind me here. We have Bob on bass and Scott on banjo and Seth on guitar. And we're going to start with a song. This one is called The Lowering, A Sad Day in Greenville Town.
If I had seen the way it would be, I'd hushed your cries when you came to me. And if I could do what I did to you, the same to me, then I would love for you to see that I sleep with remorse and regret hangs round my door forevermore. I had known the lowering tide was lowering with the way you felt inside. And if I had known all hope hope was gone. A broken heart and a broken home that pierced my lover's past and carved a lonely path for her to walk. So if ever someone says to you, life isn't fair, get used to it, then you should say, well, it might be if folks like you would let. Comes my bed and I am gone.
The Avett Brothers and their song The Lowering, A Sad Day in Greenville Town. Avett Brothers are Seth and Scott, who are brothers, and Bob Crawford is, the honorary brother to the third member of the band. And they're here with us this hour. Greenville Town was where you were in a different incarnation there as a band. Is that right?
We were. We were in a band called Nemo, a rock and roll band, rather abrasive rock and roll band. And we kind of merged what we were doing in that band with the acoustic instruments that we were playing on the side and got what would come to be what we do now.
Now, why was it that you made that transition? Because those two worlds, you're here playing acoustic, guitar, bass, banjo. One thinks of bluegrass music, more traditional music, and the edgier sound of metal, hardcore.
Sure. Once the change started, when we would do this on the side, the edgier side of things took to this just as well as they took to any kind of metal or hardcore or punk rock, whatever you want to call it, because it comes from the same sort of heart, the same sort of vein. It's broken down. It's relatively honest and direct, which most hardcore music is just that. It's a little harder to swallow for some people. And the older you get, your bones maybe start to break a little easier in the mosh pit. So originally, that was very attractive. Like, we found it very easy just to grab an instrument and run, and we didn't have to, we weren't loading a van with full stacks of amplifiers and a lot of gear, full drum kit. But slowly, the shows are beginning to turn into they're the same demand that the hardcore shows were. It's interesting. So we've kind of canceled out some of the reasons we started, but I think we realized we never really wanted to get too far away from it, and subject matter and songwriting and whatnot never really changed. Mm-hmm. Stayed very similar.
I would imagine that it would be a younger audience for the rock music you were doing before.
There was.
And did you lose fans when you turned to this?
We didn't seem to.
No, it doesn't seem like that. At least if we did, they didn't tell us about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
just as well,
right? Which is fine with us. But we seem to have only found more people that that share this love, and for whatever this music is, there seems to be a lot more. A lot more kinds of people, a bigger variety. Older people, younger people, different races and religions, and all that. We haven't found a real boundary for that yet. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to hear another song from you in our next segment, but wanted to talk a little bit more about what you would call the music that you're doing there. I mean, you know us in the media, we want to put a category on something.
You're not the only ones. I think we all do.
And I have seen some writing. There have been some various explanations or descriptions of what your music is because of the bluegrass. Some call it thrash grass. And depression dance music.
Sure.
Which has maybe a double meaning there.
Right. It does. Yeah, it does. Yes. And we like that one a lot. That one was nice. Using the bluegrass word in it is
a little misleading.
It is, and because we never were really we never were bluegrass musicians, and we still aren't. We're not as capable at doing that as bluegrass musicians are. It was something that inspired us heavily, and we took it and ran with it.
But once we realized that we weren't going to learn how to play our instruments that well, we better start trying to play the songs that we wrote, because if you write them, then you're bound to be able to play them.
That's right.
Which is very convenient for us.
Now, were you was bluegrass something new to you when you stopped being the rock band, or was this something you were listening to as kids growing up?
I think that's a key point you're making there. It was pretty new to us. The bluegrass was, growing up, we listened to more country in the realm of Tom T. Hall, Merle Haggard, John Connolly, those kind of bands. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the bluegrass really. It wasn't really around us that much. Mm-hmm. So the folk music was, and old-time country was, but not really bluegrass. So it was relatively new.
We are talking with Scott and Seth Avett and Bob Crawford, who three of them make up the Avett Brothers Band. And we welcome your calls. The number's 1-877-962-9862. Just ahead, we'll have more live music from the Avett Brothers. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. This is The State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Melinda Pencava, and the Avett Brothers are with us in the studio today, talking about their music and playing. And we're going to hear another song right now from them. This is called Love Like the Movies.
So you want to be in love like the movies.
Brothers here on The State of Things today, giving the new floors in our studio a workout, a real test there. Thanks so much. And that song, if you want to have a seat, sure, and we'll talk a little bit more about. It's what we were talking about before, where you're taking these instruments, acoustic bass and banjo and guitar and a little bit of a drum there.
Sure.
And giving it much more of the presence that you would have done when you were a rock band.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that happened it didn't happen right off. Right off in the beginning, we just tried to deliver the old-time songs and the songs that we wrote like you would deliver an old-time song. Mm-hmm. And the more we did it, I think the more of the spirit, the more confident, the more natural we felt.
Right. Did you always write your own songs, even when you were a rock band?
Mm-hmm.
Bob Crawford?
Well, I wasn't in the rock band with them.
Okay.
But ever since I've been with these guys, original material has always been the most important part of the act. Mm-hmm. Even when we were doing 95% traditional music and 95% covers, it was always this, we're going to be doing originals soon, we're going to be, you know, and they would come in like one at a time. And, you know, I think there was a plan early on that within a year of us beginning, we would be doing 95% originals compared to, you know, the opposite.
I want to talk about, there's a collection of some of your originals, the Pretty Girl songs.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'd love if you could tell us about that. Do you, all three of you, do the songwriting together, or is it you, Scott?
We do all three. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did those come about? Because there's a list of the Pretty Girl from Raleigh, Pretty Girl from Annapolis.
There's two major parts of the explanation. One is that the subject matter is plentiful, and you got to come up with a name for every song you write at some point. So we figured by making a series out of it, it'd be easier to do that. Plus, we were trying to emulate kind of an old school type of titling, like Jimmy Rogers. Blue Yodels. He had just, instead of coming up with a bunch of different clever names for his Blue Yodels, he'd just say Blue Yodel number 1, number 9, 25, 50, mm-hmm. 10,000.
Well, who was the first pretty girl that you wrote about?
Pretty Girl from Matthews was the first song. And that's, I guess, a third part to the explanation for him, where the song was titled with a girl's name in it. And you got to kind of be careful with how specific you are if there's another girl involved in your life. And it was used at the beginning as a cover-up. That's all. We just said, let's just call it Pretty Girl from so-and-so. And that way, we won't have to incorporate her name, and she won't sue us, and neither will our girlfriend.
We'll get your girlfriend mad, and everybody wins.
So I take it these were not songs about great commitment, then?
They're not really, for the most part. For the most part, I guess they're not love songs. Some of them lean that way, but they're songs about girls that we knew.
And they're also not necessarily physical attraction. I mean, pretty can mean a lot of different things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At some point, would you write, pretty girls sometimes grow up to be beautiful women. Are we to expect a beautiful women series in your canon someday?
It's in the works. It's in the works.
I guess it's hard not to call women girl. I mean, your wife is
my girl.
You want to say, you're my girl.
Yeah.
Beautiful women are also pretty girls.
That's right.
Well, Bob Crawford, how did you end up in the band?
I had gone back to college to study music, and I was studying jazz guitar, and I bought an upright bass just as an impulse buy, really. And I began to mess around with it, and then really fell in love with the instrument. And not too long after that, a fellow guitar student that I went to school with, he knew Scott, and he knew that they were looking for a bass player, and he kind of hooked us up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm sure we'd love to hear another song from y'all, because what one has heard in 4 years of your band being together is that the shows are something to see. And I'm really grateful that you're in here today so we don't just have to play the CDs.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do for us now?
We're going to do a song called Distraction Number 74.
Okay. Well, can you tell us what this is about?
Sure. This is a song about something in your mind telling you need to take a right to go see someone that you know you shouldn't, because it's going to complicate things even worse. And those voices turning that wheel anyway.
Okay.
The mistakes you'll make.
Okay, we're going to hear from Scott, Seth, and Seth Avett, and Bob Crawford, the Avett brothers here. Distraction number 74.
All right. Yep. 1, 2, 3.
I was in love with your beauty from the day you walked my way. Oh, how I wish that was enough to have made me want to say, see, I'm as true as I want to be, and I'ma say, my girl, I tried the best to get to you. A year
give me a try at describing just how difficult it is when you kinda love two girls to figure out which one you miss. Stumble away from your stairway with your perfume on my clothes. Well, I kinda love two girls, but now I've kinda lost them both. It on a scale and weigh
the
damage done that night, then it'd be
safe to say
the weight
of all I
didn't do would surely
float against
the
lightest strong
I ever did to you.
Dare we say some sweet harmony there from the Avett Brothers, and that's Distraction number 74. They're in the studio today. If you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 1-877-962-9862. That's 1-877-962-9862. Debbie joins us right now from Raleigh. Hi there, Debbie.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. The first time I heard the Avett Brothers was at King's in Raleigh, and I think it was the best show I've ever seen in my whole life.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie.
Well, tell us what it was about the show.
Well, I went there because a friend of mine runs sound, and he said, come on down. I think you'll like these guys. And I went down anyway, and I was completely blown away. And I've tried to go to every show since then that's been in the area, and I think you guys are awesome. I absolutely love you. I've always loved bluegrass music anyway, and I think you've just made it even better.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much for your call.
All right, thank you.
1-877-962-9862. Have you always enjoyed performing, or is it at a different level with this band compared to what you were doing with a rock band?
I don't know. We might all have different answers for this, but I think we've always enjoyed performing, even when we were performing for nobody at all. Plenty of times playing in rooms where there was nobody there, but we were doing it for a reason, and it wasn't for the money. Since singing in church when we were little, I mean, we seemed to jump at the opportunity a good bit.
Yeah. So you were doing church hymns?
We did.
Yeah, we sing in church, old gospel songs that our dad would teach us kind of in tradition, and at Christmas, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever work any of them into your act?
We sure do. We just recorded one of them in the past couple of days, a song called Walking in Jerusalem, which is an old gospel song that we learned from an old friend, our father, and Neil McGlamory, who was
How does it go? Can you give us an a cappella version of it?
Yeah, we actually can.
Actually, we started a cappella.
Yeah.
You want to do the chorus?
Yeah.
I want to be ready, I want to be ready, I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see?
Walking in Jerusalem just like John.
A big band of angels coming for me.
Walking in Jerusalem just like John. I want to be ready, I want to be ready, I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
If you get there before I do,
walking in Jerusalem just like John.
Tell all my friends I'm coming too,
walking in Jerusalem just like John. I want to be ready, I want to be ready, I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Walking in Jerusalem just like John.
The Avett Brothers here. Not an original song, but one that you've just recorded. I guess it's coming out on another CD.
That was actually the recording just now, what we just did. We just recorded it. Yeah.
Okay, well, it was very much live, wasn't it? You have, there's a story I'd love for you to tell about another song, a traditional song, or one you didn't write, we'll say, Wanted Man. And I read somewhere that you sought permission from Doc Watson to sing this.
We sure did. We were actually opening for Doc in York, South Carolina, at a place called the Sylvia Theater, and we went up to thank him. Seth had met him earlier in his life, and went up to remind him that we had that Seth had met him before and say hello, and to thank him for letting us open for him, and ask him if it was okay if we played that song, and he said, "It's not my song." Help yourself. I don't care. Help yourself. Have a good time. That's what they're there for. He was very matter of fact about it. But it was great. Very honest, a matter of fact.
Family groups are not unusual in this business, and you're, I guess, an adopted member of the family now, Bob.
Is that certainly right? It certainly is.
There was, of course, the Stanley family in bluegrass circles, Monroe Brothers. But I'm wondering what it's like to play with your brother, perform with your brother all the time. I mean, is there any kind of sibling rivalries that ever come up?
No, never a rivalry. We can have disagreements, but it's no different than any other time. I mean, if you're able to, if you can be friends with your brother, then you can play music with him. Mm-hmm. You know.
And your dad gave you some instruction on that.
Yes, he sure did.
Since we were born.
Yeah. And was, I guess, it put you in good stead as musicians then.
Yeah. He also said on a couple trips that we made early in this direction, we went on trying to panhandle our way across America, and he said, whatever, you know, there's plenty of bad people out there. You get in arguments with yourselves, and you're fighting yourself. You're your own, your best friends. You've got to look
wasting up. Wasting time.
Other. It's just a waste of time.
Okay. So, let's go to Carrie, who's in Greensboro. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I first saw you guys at Merle Fest a couple of years ago, and you obviously made a big hit. You were a great hit at this past Merle Fest, too, and I've enjoyed seeing it at other venues. I wonder, how big an impact did your first exposure at Merle Fest have on your popularity?
It was enormous.
Bob Croft.
Thank you for calling in, and thanks for coming to see us. Merle Fest is a big thing in North Carolina, but it's also a big thing throughout the entire United States. And after that performance, we would go to Minnesota and have people come up to us and say, we saw you at Merle Fest. We would go to Chicago and other places in the country, and we'd get a lot of people from all over, you wouldn't believe it, said, we saw
That's
you
great.
At Merle Fest. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks.
And Jane's in Chapel Hill. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I just wanted to tell y'all that I heard y'all first in good old St. Louis, Missouri, and wanted to let y'all know that what really sets y'all apart is that you can really tell that y'all love what you're doing. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. So.
Thank you, Jane. We do like it.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Jane. Y'all get around a lot. How many nights a year are you performing on the road?
I think right now it's about close, getting close to 200 in it for the free.
This past year, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, can we hear another song? We have about three minutes. Can you do something for us in that time?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. What are we going to hear?
Let's see. What should we play here?
Pretend Love.
Yeah. We have this a new record coming up, and this is going to be one of the songs on the new record. It's called Pretend Love.
Okay. Here's the Avett Brothers here on The State of Things.
Don't be fooled by my words. Don't be fooled by my song. If you choose to believe them, you'll plainly be wrong. I have love for my family. I have love for my friends. That's as far as it goes. And I must let you know, my love for you was pretend. Pretend love, pretend love. Don't be mistaken, I've only been faking. Pretend. Thank you.
pretend love, pretend love. Don't be mistaken, I've only been faking.
This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Penkava, and we are talking today with the Avett brothers, Scott Avett, Seth Avett, and Bob Crawford. They're here in the studio. They are based in Concord, outside of Charlotte, and in just 4 years, they have taken bluegrass music, traditional music, and sort of melded it with the rock that they were doing before and come up with a very distinctive sound. They're drawing fans everywhere, and they're in the studio with us today. We welcome your calls. The number's 1-877-962-9862. Their new CD is called Four Thieves Gone, The Robbinsville Sessions. And we're going to hear another song from the Avett Brothers right now. This one's called Swept Away.
One, two, three, four. Send my life whirling, darling, when you're twirling on the floor. And who cares about tomorrow? What more is tomorrow than another day? When you swept me away. Colors out of reach. If you come down to my window and I climb out my window, then we'll get out of reach. You know we will.
Cares about tomorrow, girl, what more is has swept me away. Yeah, you have swept me away. Yeah, you swept me away.
The Avett Brothers and Swept Away here on The State of Things. Avett Brothers are Scott on banjo, Seth on guitar, and Bob Crawford, who is on bass. They're going to be playing at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill tonight. And we have a number of calls here. Let's go to the phones. Brad is in Raleigh. Hi there, Brad.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you. I guess, first of all, let me say I love you guys. You're awesome.
Thank you, Brad.
I've heard you that I can't get enough. I'm completely looking forward to the new record.
Awesome.
I guess my question is, particularly on Mignonette, a lot of your songs deal with fame and being on the road and kind of fighting against that. As you have gained more fame, how have you seen your lives and your writing change?
We don't try not to change. We're welcome to change, and we think that we're going to have to keep changing as we as we gain fans. But I think the point is to make sure we're changing in the right ways and in the positive ways. I, a lot of times, this is Scott, by the way, think, and when I look at the Beatles and the way they changed and handled it, it really didn't seem to hurt them and affect them in any ways but good ways. The subject matter doesn't really change much for us. You do see more in the road. It tends to pollute some of the subject matter in good ways, though.
Does it jade you?
Not yet. I wouldn't say we're not being bombarded by fan mail or anything that's kind of that keeps us, you know, busy.
Well,
to
Bob,
where we
Bob
can.
Is just a little bit, but we expected that from the beginning.
Does that answer your question, Brad? I don't know if I did or not. I might have got lost.
It does. I wanted to just kind of see what you've, particularly on the. Last song there on the album, you know, you sing about
sure.
fame, and I just, you know, it's kind of contrasting as you've gained a lot more.
Definitely. I think the important thing is with the traveling and being away, we try to remember to keep the priorities in the right order. You know what I'm saying? That's really what I hope comes out of that.
You know, in terms of change, though, the Beatles sound changed over the course of their career.
Very much so.
And it sounds the way that you adopt different types of music that you're not averse to change.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
But is there something that's going to remain constant in your work?
I think there'll have to be some anchors that keep in there.
Well, I think you'll probably always notice melody being on the forefront. I don't know. There's certain things that are attractive to us about music that are definitely not going to change. But as long as we're just enjoying what we're doing and are excited about the new songs, I think it'll continue to go well and continue to go healthy.
That's the key.
We go to Matt in Chapel Hill. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Welcome to the show. Did you have a question for the Avett Brothers?
Yeah, I just noticed that over the last year or so, most of the touring seems to be focused not necessarily in North Carolina and the South, but it seems to be going more nationwide. So I just wanted them to address what the new tour scenario is going to be, I guess, in the upcoming future. And also just mention, in the vein of all the Pretty Girls songs, that if you guys at any point feel like, you know, making up a song called A Really, Really Ridiculously Good-Looking Guy from Chapel Hill, I'm going to be all right with that guy.
Well, we'll know exactly who that'll be.
All right, I'll see y'all tonight. I'll
see
be wearing
you,
a wig.
See you there.
Thanks for your call, Matt. 1-877-962-9862. Brad, a moment ago, mentioned Mignonette, which was the name of a previous CD. And there's a story behind that I don't think you actually wrote a song about it, but this is a song about a story about cannibalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the story, we tried to tie it in a number of... This could take a long time to explain it. There's an explanation in the record about it, but we tried to... key in on the parallels of honesty and truth, and kind of what Brad was talking about, sticking with those anchors and the true heart of what we're doing, and always keeping that in mind. And at the end of the book, there's an awful happening with cannibalism, and the captain of the sunken ship, which is called the Mignonette, is faced with a decision to either lie about it, cover it up, and be done with it, or tell the truth no matter what it does. And we intend to do that through what we do, or at least attempt to.
Okay, and the whole idea of the story there was that it was the custom of the sea at the time, that if you were shipwrecked and food ran out, straws were drawn.
Exactly, and just to decide who was going to be eaten.
Okay. John joins us right now from Burlington. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
This is actually the guitarist from Nemo.
All it took was hey, how you doing?
That's well.
So you're not in the band anymore. Did you draw the short straw?
No.
We actually ate John's arm at some point.
Yeah, it's been a while. When we disbanded, we all just kind of went our own ways. They stuck together, did the acoustic thing with them for a little bit.
Uh-huh. You sure did.
So what do you think of their acoustic turn?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I really don't have a question or anything. I really just wanted to call in. I picked a good day to be home today because I didn't know that they were coming on the radio.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to take the time to say that, anybody that hasn't heard them that's listening right now, that Air Brothers are the real deal. I mean, there's nothing that compares to them. I mean, this is the direction that music should be going right now. And as far as Scott and Seth, I mean, they're music lovers, they're great musicians, great songwriters, they're good, honest people. And I think everybody should know, like, all aspects of the Avett Brothers, because it's more than just the music.
Okay, and don't let us forget the third Avett brother, Bob Crawford, here.
Yes.
on bass.
You
don't want to forget the bass guy.
Thank you so much, John. Man, we appreciate that.
Thank you for your call, John.
Thank you.
Well, what next for y'all? Where are you on the road a lot more in coming months? Do you have a CD?
Yes, actually, the CD you mentioned before, the new one, Fourth He's Gone, the Robbinsville Sessions, is going to be coming out on February 7th. And until then, we've got the big New Year's show in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then we're leaving for about 6.5 weeks on January 11th. So all those dates are on the website and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
A lot of touring coming up.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you in here today.
Thank
I'll have
you,
to catch
thank
you live
you so
sometime on a stage, but it's been great to have you here in our studio.
Thank you.
Scott Avett, Seth Avett, and Bob Crawford. The Avett Brothers perform tonight at the Student Union at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And that's the state of things for today. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you have a comment about our program, you can drop us an email here at sot@wunc.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Melinda Pencava. And on a personal note, next week will be my last week here hosting the program. I'll still be reporting for North Carolina Public Radio, only a little bit closer to my home near the Pamlico Sound. The show will go on, and so now the music of the Avett Brothers. They're going to take us out on a song that they usually end their shows with. This is Salvation Song.
And if you take my heart, don't leave the smallest part. I've no need to live if you're to come or gone. And as my life turns into a song, and if and when I treat you wrong, no, I never want to hurt our family. And I would the bad. We came to cheer the sad. leave behind the world a better way. Behind, and you gotta leave me something. We came for salvation, and we came for family. We came for all that's good, that's how we'll walk away. We came to break the bad, we came to cheer the sad. Come up clean and see you shine so bright in this world of woe. And they may play us all in fame, though that is not why we came. And if it compromises truth, then we will go. We came for salvation. We came for family. We came for all that's good. That's how we'll walk away. We came to break the bad. We came to cheer the sad. We came to...